from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Well, really disappointing end to the Phillies weekend, but otherwise it was beyond stellar. I mean, they were winning games, and, you know, guys that had not been performing were performing, and, you know, they reclaimed over the last few days that, you know, top spot in the National League, although now it's back down to a half game with the Phillies lost yesterday. By the way, the Brewers have won 5 in a row. So don't sleep on them. I mean, I know a lot of us a couple months ago, it's like, you know, we didn't really take them too serious. Guys, the Brewers are one game back of the Phillies. The Dodgers are half a game back. That, to me, I would view the Bryce and JT decision by Topper 1,000% different. 1,000% different if the Phillies were like 6 or 7 games up on those teams. Totally different. But they're not. Half a game in a game. Unacceptable. All right. Let's also not forget about the Eagles. They start their season in 18 days. One more preseason game coming up this week in a couple days. But the real deal in 18 days, Nakobe Dean has clearly not only made the team, but made a case for himself to play this year, like really play. And that was not perceived to be a likelihood, you know, 4 weeks ago. I mean, this almost feels like one of the great camp comebacks we've heard in recent years. I mean, I remember when Brandon Graham struggled initially in his career, when Nelson Agholor struggled initially in his career, and then those guys got going. Nakobe, it'd be great if he follows suit. Let's listen to Elliot. Elliot's been doing every day at the end of practice. He puts together a little video. He puts it out on social media, highlighting one or two things. Yesterday, Elliot wanted to highlight Nakobe Dean. Listen to what Elliot said right after practice yesterday.
I want to give a shout out to Nakobe Dean for having an outstanding training camp so far. Nakobe made a play today that I don't think he makes either of his previous 2 years here. It was on a passing route. He wasn't in man coverage. It looked like he was probably in zone. But it was a quick out to Devontae. Devontae was open. It looked like this pass was going to be completed. And out of nowhere, Nakobe shot out and knocked the ball away to knock it incomplete. And what's becoming clear about Nakobe the more camp goes on is he is looking like the guy that played at Georgia. He's playing with instincts. He looks athletic. He looks like he's making plays, which he has not done a ton in training camp. And I think what's benefiting Nakobe is he's finally getting rep after rep after rep healthy, day after day after day healthy. And as a result, he is looking awesome. I think he's having the best camp he has by far in an Eagles uniform. He is pushing for that starting job, and he is making plays consistently. This past week has been really, really impressive for Nakobe. So as I leave the NovaCare today, I definitely leave thinking Nakobe could end up being that impact player fans hoped he would be when they drafted him out of Georgia.
I mean, John, it's awesome.
Wow, that's right. Incredible to hear. It's really surprising. It felt like he was so average previously.
Oh, you know, I'd say below. I'd say below average.
Slowish. Yeah, just nothing. Nothing like shot out on film. Mm-hmm. When you'd watch him, it was just, you know, he was there. He was around the ball, but he wasn't making the plays. Now, an incredible amount of competition at the inside linebacker spot. It's we have four guys I'd feel great about starting, and I keep coming back to this. I know it sounds kind of boring. Our special teams, as a result of these four, you know, inside linebackers being this good, the special teams automatically get better.
It's a prime position for special teams.
Oh, man, yeah. these guys can go fly, run down, and make tackles. There are other positions, wide receiver, running back. Those guys aren't, you know, trained killers running down and making tackles.
Right.
These are inside linebackers. They are so versatile. They can do all the special teams. That is exciting, especially this year with the new format and everything that comes with that. I think we're going to have a chance to be a little more creative because we've got more athleticism on our special teams.
By the way, speaking of special teams and the Eagles, I got to tell you, in all due respect to the all-time greats the Eagles have had in special teams, and they've had, in my lifetime, five or six that have stood out. Ike was phenomenal, made the Pro Bowl. It was all legit. I mean, Ike was a great, great core special teams player. Chris Maragos was. Brian Braman was. I mean, the Eagles have had a couple. I think the most dominant special team player I ever saw, and only lasted, John, you'll remember this, about half the year. The first half of 04, when the Eagles wouldn't start Trot. You remember this, Rhea? And for the first half, he had to prove it on special teams. Mm-hmm. And you had, like, prime Jeremiah Trotter killing guys on special teams.
The other team must have been like, please put him in the starting lineup so he can stop destroying
us. It was unbelievable.
And we all saw it. It was a joke.
It was.
That is why, like, I know Andy Reid is beloved around here.
Yeah.
There were certain things that he was stubborn about was just didn't make any sense.
Listen, there were mystifying elements to Andy Reid. And I'm an Andy Reid defender and backer, but I recognize he had faults here, big time. And that's the thing about Rob Thompson. You don't want to see the Phillies blow this because he blows it. Yesterday was just a game, but it was a game with playoff implications for seeding, okay? But more important than even that, to me, it's what yesterday's decision represents when it comes to October decisions. He cannot be, like Andy Reid was here, just completely adherent to just doing what he does because he predetermined it. Don't predetermine it. Think on your feet. All right, let's go to Brian right now in Philadelphia. Brian, good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
What's up, Brian?
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. The other thing Copper did, he set Marsh and took out Rojas and Wilson.
Well, Marsh hit a home run, so let's give him credit for that. I mean, you got that reality.
Right, but he took out both Rojas and Wilson that was producing over 300.
Yeah, but you got a right-handed pitcher going. I mean, that makes sense.
Right.
So, I mean, if Brandon Marsh isn't starting, right? Remind lefty yesterday. Help me remember this here. Now I'm blanking.
Marsh didn't start yesterday. I thought he started.
Hold on. I'm blanking myself.
I have the lineup right here. Hold on.
No, Marsh did start.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, listen, Brian, Marsh is not going to not play. I mean, listen, Johan Rojas is not so good that he has to play in front of Brandon Marsh.
That's true. But both of them were producing over 300. So each one of them were also available to pinch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that situation.
I said it backwards. Right-handed pitcher yesterday, which is why you have Marsh play. I mean, that makes sense. All right, Brian, give me an answer. What was a mystifying decision?
I think the captain of the Titanic decided to go with the race.
Titanic had a...
So, all right, the Titanic, like, let's...
litany of bad choices,
there's a crazy story about that I read recently, that the guy who was in charge of the binoculars, mm-hmm. you know, to keep an eye out for the icebergs, didn't have the key to the locker where the binoculars were.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, is that
insane? That's an oversight.
No, you think?
Hey, binocular guy.
That's not good. Let's go to Anastasia right now. Anastasia, you're on WIP.
Hi. My argument is he didn't have to go with Harper or JT for the pinch hit for Stevenson. You had Weston Wilson, who's hot.
Sure.
Right now, he's hitting the ball great.
Well, that's another way to frame it. Even if you didn't want to use your two veterans, you could have. You could have. I mean, I don't love it, Anastasia, because to me, the main thing is let's put the best hitter up there, not necessarily the guy that's hit the best in the last 3 or 4 or 5 days.
Well, I mean, there is something to be said for that.
It's an option.
His OPS is 998 right now.
Yeah. Yep.
But then he gets the hit, then he gets the hit, then you decide to use JT for
sure. Sure, it's an upgrade to what was out there, and it really is relatively little risk, long run, you know.
Like. Yeah, but you can also make the case, look, I know Weston Wilson's hit a lot lately, but it doesn't mean, is he really that much of an upgrade over Cal Stevenson? I don't know.
He was 0-for-3, and he's hitting 152.
Yeah. I mean, Stevenson was 0-for-3 when you let him
hit. All right, Anastasia, for the Incubus tickets, give me a mystifying decision.
I got nothing. I just don't know that stuff.
Okay. I love it. I got nothing.
Come on. Give me something. Give me WIP hiring Richie. Give me... No, sorry about that. How about Seltzer taking off? What's going on? That's mystifying. I mean, you think the guy would be in it to win it here at WIP.
And he's probably just sitting home. Take off.
Yeah, but he's probably just sitting home in his freaking boxers.
You just came back from vacation.
And at least I went somewhere. He's probably
How do you know he didn't?
Yeah, we know Seltzer. He's just sitting on his couch.
Well, that's also a viable option.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, it's downgrade the vacation.
You're just capping on Jimmy.
All right, I'm playing around with James. Give us a great answer for a mystifying decision from the world of sports, outside the world of sports. I mean, there are some massive answers through the years. 215-592-9494 for a mystifying decision. Best answer ever provides it is going to win the Incubus tickets. Also up ahead, more into Kobe Dean, because Sirianni also weighed in about him over the weekend, and a lot more on this decision yesterday by Rob Thompson to not have JT or Bryce grab a bat. It just made no sense in the ninth inning. No one, the greatest sports scientist in the world can call, I know for a fact if you don't play them. Enough. Knock it off. Grab a bat. If you get a hit, get ready to run to first or second base. It's not that complicated. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie, but what Rob Thompson said after the game about it, we'll play that and more. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie, your phone calls on 94 WIP. It's a shame when a good weekend is, kind of marred by something at the end. But that, to me, is what it feels like with the mystifying decision of Rob Thompson to not hit, as Regis, alluded to in the update, JT or Bryce in the ninth. I mean, you got one on. You got no one out. You know, you're down by two. I don't get it. Mystifying. By the way, speaking of mystifying, one of our, United Tire, one of our great sponsors. Great sponsor. Great people. The whole team. Greg, Billy, So Billy, one of the owners of United Tire, just texted me in the break. And John, I didn't know this one. Most people probably won't, but those old enough will. Some will remember. Apparently the Russians, the Soviets, that is, in 80 against the U.S. hockey team, when we're just about to beat them, but there's a minute to go, we're only up by a goal. The Soviets never pulled their goalie. And I just looked it up online, and Billy from United Tire is right. So the Soviets are down by one goal, and they never pulled their goalie.
There's a great scene in the movie.
Mystifying.
In the movie, yep. Where Herb Brooks is looking at his assistant, going, "He doesn't know what to do."
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like it's the funniest line.
Well, it's funny. I just quickly researched this, and there are some people that think online that the Soviets literally didn't know what to do because they were never down.
Holy cow!
Correct.
Okay, and then there are other people that say they did know what to do, but they just didn't do it.
Because it was such a slap in the face to their pride or something?
I don't know.
It's crazy.
All right, so in sports and out of sports, there are a ton of mystifying decisions, and we ask you, what is the best example? Whoever provides it's going to win the Incubus tickets. You can obviously join us, 215-592-9494. A lot more on the Phils, including what Rob Thompson said after the game yesterday. But let's listen to more, John, on the Eagles and focus on the defense, because Vic Fangio talked yesterday. And he talked on a few different topics, and let's highlight two of the players he spoke about. One, Cooper DeJean, and then we'll get to James Bradberry. Let's start with Cooper DeJean, who just recently got back into this. It's a crowded defensive backfield, and he's part of a puzzle and the whole deal. All right, here is Vic Fangio had just been asked, the audio was a little muffled, so we're just going to tell you what was asked. The question was about Cooper DeJean and what he needs to do over the next few weeks to make Fangio feel comfortable with him this year. Here's what Fangio said.
Well, that's way too early to even answer that. I mean, he finally practiced yesterday and got about 12 reps, give or take. And, you know, and some of those he wasn't even in the action just because the plays went away. So, I don't know. This is first, yesterday was his first time to get any team reps, you know, because what he got in the offseason was all 7-on-7. And 7-on-7 is not football. It's a teaching drill. And so, I mean, he's a long ways from me saying what he can or can't do.
What is your approach with him?
What do you mean?
In terms of, is he like on a pitch count right now?
Yeah, I mean, downstairs people, he could take 2 to 3 snaps per period yesterday.
All right, downstairs people, we think he's talking about the trainers and more sports science applied to the application of, you know.
That's the downstairs
Philadelphia sports.
The doctors and athletic trainers.
So, John, look, he may have been a starter day one this year. He won't be now. He probably would not have been. But just can you frame how much he's behind having missed the last 3 weeks? Thereabout, whatever the heck it's been.
Well, on the one hand, no one practices as much as they used to anyway. Yep. You know, like once upon a time, he would have missed, you know, 20 practices at this point during a training camp where you have 2 a day. This is, he's still able to do the walking through and a lot of the learning and a lot of the film sessions and everything else. I think it's really interesting that Vic Fangio, he just wants to see him play too.
Yeah.
Just as badly as we want to see him play. Yeah. He has no idea what Cooper DeJean can bring because he's got 12 reps total.
You know what I wonder, John? If he's even activated week one. Because
you don't know. Does he know where to be, what to do? I do think that because he's been able to walk through and go to the meetings and that sort of thing, he probably has a better understanding than we give him credit. But he's got to get out there and actually apply the, you know, what he's learned. And again, it's a big deal making this jump. You need reps. He's had 12 or however many. And by the way, I thought it was cool. I thought it was interesting the way Vic Fangio talked about 7-on-7 is not
a
real rep. What did he call it? A drill? Like a learning drill. Because you're not tackling. You're not hit. There's no offensive or defensive line. It doesn't give an accurate depiction of what the quarterback's going to be seeing. And so I felt vindicated as a fan that our defensive coordinator now feels like the guys have to get out there and do the team drills, get guys thud, you know, get some hitting done to actually get better at football.
Look, ultimately, we'll see, obviously, Fangio, his impact when it comes to the games, which is what, you know, really matters. But I do like the way this guy presents. I like the way he talks. I like how I sense he thinks.
It feels like both sides of the ball have a very different identity now.
I agree,
and
man.
I think that the defensive side can be proud of their identity. I think that's a great thing.
Well, I don't think we know their identity yet, but they're trying.
Vic Fangio is sowing the seeds of toughness in this team, the old school seeds of toughness. And when we talk to the players, you know, when we talk to Brandon Graham at camp, it is a similar story. Oh, Vic is Vic. You know, he's going to be the way Vic is. He's old school.
Yeah.
You know, he's bringing that old school. And the guys are buying in.
Yeah.
That's what's so great.
That's Kay. All right, so some more calls in a moment here on the Phillies and the weekend and Rob Thompson's decision yesterday, but let's actually get to another defensive back. We'll call him defensive back because we don't quite know what position. It seems mostly safety for James Bradberry. Is he going to make the team? Is he not going to make the team? Look, Vic Fangio is obviously not going to weigh in on that publicly, but he did talk yesterday about some of what's going on with Bradberry. Here's that.
How's the Bradberry safety experiment going?
He's doing fine. You know, like I said last week, JB is a really smart player. He's experienced, and he's been able to carry over what he's learned as a corner to the safety position. Now, having said that, it's still new. And every day he's being exposed to something new. That's why it's great to go practice again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's another team, because you get to see new plays, new routes, and so it's a new experience for him. But overall, he's doing good, better than I thought he would do.
All right, so look, he obviously has a shot. Now, the contract helps him stay to this point. We don't know that he'll make the team. John, one thing I wonder is if their mindset is, we're keeping Bradbury because we believe the more he immerses himself in this, the more he can be a viable option at safety to start, but maybe not week one. Maybe it's Reed Blankenship out of the gate, but as Bradbury gets more and more up to speed on a new position, maybe he gets in there week four or week six or week eight. I mean,
James Bradbury is smart. James Bradbury, in a pinch, can play any of those positions in the defensive secondary.
But he did look confused in the last preseason game. Well, or was that two games ago?
He had a terrible game, read. Right? Yeah. He's being asked to play nickel linebacker, and he's a cornerback, and he makes a misstep, a bad read, and it looked awful.
It did.
His dead cap for this year is $15 million. His cap hit is only four. I think they're going to keep him.
I think you're probably right.
Because of the practicality of having a vet who's smart. No, he's probably not going to start for you.
Look, John, I didn't think he was going to get to April 1st on the Eagles. I didn't think he was going to get to June 1st in the Eagles.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to get to August 1st in the Eagles.
Well, he's getting used to the fact that it seems like he's part of the plan for this year. Now, after next season,
they
have a potential out, like where it ends up being 2 years with a $10 million dead cap.
Yeah, yeah.
And they will likely get out after this season.
He can't be out there. They'll go. Other teams will go right after
him. Well, I tend to think you're right, but we'll see. I mean, you don't have to be as fast at safety as corner, so maybe you can hide him a little bit from that standpoint. The player that I saw, and we all saw last year in that playoff game and down the stretch, to me was a non-option for this year. But, you know, maybe there was some physical stuff holding him back. Like, I can't say I'm thrilled he's here, because I'm certainly not, but I'm willing to watch and see. Now, ultimately, it's their job to make the call. And you know, look, we'll find out what happens. 215-592-9494. Obviously, the big thing today, the Phils. You know, a weekend that, for the most part, was great. I mean, the alumni weekend stuff was great. You win two of the last three games in the weekend. You win three of the last four when you go back to the start of the series. You know, Christopher Sanchez reestablished. Trey reestablished.
Bryson Stott, Brandon Marsh, back-to-back home runs, feels like. They're manufacturing the runs.
Doing some of that. But the decision by Rob Thomson at the end yesterday, and I said it again before, and I'll say it again. To me, it's like, I just fear that this is going to cost the Phillies in October, and I view his is dictum the right word, John? Is that I don't even know if that's the right word. I don't know. I get these words confused. His mindset is, I do what I do because that's what I do.
Sounds like Popeye.
It does. It does sound like Popeye. Like, I know it's
what
not
did
that
he say?
Simple.
I am what I am. What I am.
Right. Arr. Arr. Like, I know it's not quite that simple. There is a reason behind it. He truly believes. He truly believes. Not having Bryson JT hit and have to limber up and potentially run second base if they rope a double and, you know, potentially play the field if the game gets extended and goes into extra innings. I understand it's not as simple as, you know, I do what I do because that's what I do. I mean, he does what he does because he believes it's right. I just think it's wrong. And I think he is too adherent to this concept of, I made a predetermined decision and I'm just going to stick by it. I mean, no one is going to convince me that Bryce Harper's October gets wrecked if he bats yesterday. And the reality, I mean, I'm not saying it's not theoretically possible. He can get out there and tear his knee. He can pull his hamstring. I think it's possible. But I think your greater likelihood of impacting October from yesterday, twofold. One, that you lose a game that you otherwise might have won if a better hitter hits. And now you got, you know, the Dodgers a half a game behind the Phils and the Brewers one game behind the Phils for the 1-2 seed in the NL. And two, yesterday to me, more importantly, I view through the umbrella of, man, this guy who I like a lot, Rob Thompson, he's got a lot of the Andy Reid thing in him, in a bad way. I mean, Andy Reid was a very good coach here and is now a truly great historic coach. But we knew when he was here, he was too adherent to just certain things. I'm not going to run the ball. I'm not. I'm just not going to do it. You know, my play call is going to have 77 words. And then, like, yeah, don't you think maybe that there's a chance that's part of why sometimes you have a delay of game? I mean, Rhea, there's a lot a lot we banged with Chip Kelly for.
That's the nature of the offense,
Chip Kelly
man.
Got here and said, we're running play three.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? You never had a delay of game. Five!
Well, Chip end of the spectrum. He ran it too fast.
I get that. Yeah. And look, you guys know Chip, and John, you pointed this out earlier. Chip is the all-time example of I do what I do. I mean, 2015, he didn't have LeSean McCoy anymore. He didn't have DeSean Jackson anymore. He didn't have Vic or Foles, who had both had some success in this offense. And he just kept running the same damn offense with different cast of characters. He didn't have any guards. And it's like, I'm just going to do what I do on offense. It's like Sirianni last year. The whole season's crumbling. Sirianni's like, yep, we're just going to keep doing what we do on offense. Coach, hello? Bueller, it ain't working. Now, look, Rob Thompson thinks this is the way to go. I think he's
Sirianni
wrong.
Sirianni doubled down on what we know.
Oh, my God.
I don't think you know. Like, that's the problem.
Brutal.
But
brutal.
Look, Rob Thompson was wrong.
He was flat out wrong.
Rob Thompson was wrong. It's too close.
But, John, he believes it.
For the postseason, that vision, to be at the top of that pile.
He's
one
done
or
it,
two.
He's done it like five or six times this year. This is what he does.
Okay, I know, but he is so erring to the side of conservative with regard to injury and with the soft tissue stuff, with the hammy stuff. I can kind of see what he was thinking. You know, that had to factor in, but this feels so broken because it didn't feel like we valued winning the way we should.
Yeah.
I feel like this team has been showing us that they're ready to do whatever it takes to be great and to be champions, and we're seeing that. We got four games in a row under our belt. We're making offense look the way it's supposed to, taking the ball where it wants to go. And then this. Yeah. I mean, Christopher Sanchez, the day before, another complete game. Everyone's feeling great about it. You can keep that alive, but instead you just let it die. And it was almost, you knew it was going to die.
So
you just
planned.
Had to make a move, a
Look,
simple move.
Yeah, you put those two guys up there. Your chances of winning are so slim. I know you're down two, but you have Cal Stevenson and Stubbs bat back-to-back when you got Bryson JT on the bench. I mean, you might as well raise the white flag. I just want to play the audio of those last two at-bats, and then we'll take your reaction. 215-592-9494. before. Just to set it again, for those of you that maybe were under a rock, missed it. Phil's down two. They're going for a sweep. All right, it hasn't been a great day. They chose to pitch Taiwan. That's a whole different issue and another one that bothers me. But you still have a shot. You got a runner on first. You got nobody out. You're down two. You got JT and Bryce both on the bench. But instead, back-to-back, you're going to get Cal Stevenson and Garrett Stubbs. Let's listen to Cal Stevenson. One on, no out, down two, Cal Stevenson.
Finnegan ready, the kick, the pitch. Swinging a bouncer, reaching for it. Finnegan's got it. Feeds Abrams one, on to first. In time, oh, says Roberto Ortiz. And if that stands, what a double play. 1-6-3 that the Nationals have just turned.
Look, guys, I get it. It was almost a hit. It wasn't. Okay, but here's the bottom line. You don't have Cal Stevenson bat when Bryce Harper can. Period.
It's pretty simple.
Period. It's really simple. I mean, like, I understand Frank Smith could get a hit when you could go to Babe Ruth. It's possible. It'll happen sometimes in baseball history. Some guy named Frank Smith gets a hit instead of Babe Ruth. But we also know Babe Ruth has a better chance to get a hit than Frank Smith. You bat Babe Ruth. You bat Bryce Harper instead of Cal Stevenson. Period. End of story. All right, so now double play. Now nobody on. This last one kind of doesn't matter quite as much because now your probability to win has diminished greatly because now there's no on and two out. But you still got a shot. You got Stubbs batting. You got JT on the bench. Here's that one.
The pitch grounded to second. This will end it. Garcia's got it. Throws to first. Ball game's over. Phillies unable to complete the four-game sweep here today of the Nationals as the Nats score runs in the eighth and again in the ninth. And they come away with a 6-4 win that ends the Phillies' winning streak at four.
Look, I don't say this that often. I just think it's dumb.
Oh, it's and
dumb.
If you were watching on TV, I would love to have given Mike Schmidt truth serum at that point. Because he said, I think right before Stevenson, he goes, I got a lot of firepower on that bench. I bet they're hitting off the tee. And Crux like, oh, yeah. And then you heard nothing from him.
And John, to your point earlier, to me, if there's a word, because I said dumb, the word maybe that applies more than anything is it's soft.
Yeah, that's the worst word that you can have applied to your sports team.
I mean, I know Bryce could, you know, rip up his hamstring. Anything's possible. But it's like, dude, go have your players limber up, get ready, swing in the cage, and get ready to hit. And if they rope a double, great. Then they rope a double, and you're back in the game, and maybe they got to go play the field. Maybe they don't. Look, JT would have to play the field. If he replaces Stubbs, JT has to play. Bryce doesn't have to play first base, although I certainly don't think it's beyond him to be able to do it. Come on now. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to that, also everything else this weekend, the alumni weekend, the other wins, the decision to pitch Taiwan, Sanchez bouncing back. Let's go to Mark in Downingtown. What's up, Mark?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Mark?
Our pleasure.
Morning.
Our pleasure, buddy.
As a loyal listener, I pick up some tidbits from your show from time to time. I understand that if certain listeners present you with certain greetings, they're afforded more time on the air. So I want to start off with saying good morning, Grand Master Richie.
No.
That's disgraceful.
That doesn't work. I can't.
I'm trying to be funny.
Yeah.
It
just doesn't work for me. Nice try, though.
All right. Sorry. I'm glad you let this show off the way you did. It pains me to give away such winnable games. I agree with Rhea that yesterday was a scheduled loss based on the pitching, and you know Thompson's not going to put, you know, not going to pinch hit in the ninth inning. I kind of agree with a previous caller that it would not have been a terrible idea to put Weston Wilson in there to pinch hit.
I mean, you could have. You could have.
Sure. And honestly, if God forbid he tears a hamstring or something, it's not as a big loss as, you know, Harper or
Rumor. Yeah, but Mark, let me be clear. I understand we could do these slightly above, slightly better moves. But let's not overcomplicate it. Okay, if Bryce Harper can bat, you don't bat Weston Wilson over him, and you certainly sure as hell don't bat Cal Stevenson over him. I mean, that's it. Let's not reinvent the game.
I'm with it.
I mean, seriously, it's a joke. And by the way, I hope everyone listening realizes the Dodgers and Brewers are on the Phillies. they're on them. I mean, we all know the Dodgers are because the Phillies and Dodgers went back and forth in the last week. Right now, the Phillies are half a game above L.A. And look, good job by the Phillies bouncing back last week. They had a good week. I mean, from the midweek on, they had a good week. But the Brewers have won 5 in a row. I mean, there is a viable scenario the Phillies win this division by 7 games and have to play in the first round of the playoffs, and the whole thing could be over in 2 days.
Yep.
That ain't you're playing with fire when you say I want Cal Stevenson batting on August 18th instead of Bryce Harper to get up there in a 9th inning to bat. I mean, that to me, it's ridiculous. Mark, give me a great answer, man. What else was a mystifying decision?
I can't win, but I'll give you one just for discussion. Sure. I was mystified when Andrew Luck retired.
Yeah.
When who retired?
Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
I agree. That was incredible to me.
So let me just say this. The way I'm going to judge these today, because at the end of the day, we're going to have a winning answer for who wins the incubus tickets based on the best answer. I will tell you, to me, a big point of contention for me will be which decision did I not understand at all. Like, at least, Sean, I understood. Andrew Luck just didn't want to rehab anymore.
He's gotten injured so many times.
Like, I'm not saying I liked it. I'm not saying it's not, nor, I mean, it's obviously unconventional, but we know what he was thinking.
He made plenty of money, and he said, yeah. I don't want to have a terrible body when I'm 50 years old.
Yeah, it's, like, I'll give you an example. The Tuck rule.
Sure did
the
not.
Tuck rule. Not the call in the game, the rule. Who was the idiot in like the 90s or the 80s?
Who knows when?
Behind,
was it?
Who knows? I don't know.
When did they invent that?
I don't know. But someone behind closed doors said, you know what? If a quarterback like fakes throwing the ball, brings it back to his belly, the ball gets knocked out, that
it's not allowed to be a fumble.
It's not a fumble.
If he just fakes like he's throwing,
yeah.
He can never fumble.
That's a mystifying decision.
It sure is.
You see what I'm saying? Like that one, I can't justify that. At least Andrew Luck, I know the guy just didn't want to play anymore. He was tired of rehabbing. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to JB right now. JB, what's going on, dude?
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, JB.
JB.
Hey, John, do you know what the driest place on the planet is that's not Antarctica?
Death Valley?
Ooh. No, it's the Atacama Desert in northern Chile. Which has sustainable plant life and animals, and yet they only have less than 0.5 inch of precipitation every year.
I'm struck by the desert in Antarctica being closely tied together here in your question.
Because the driest place on the planet is Antarctica because everything's frozen.
That's so...
Yeah, but you could lick it and get water, right? You could lick the ground. Yeah. Yeah, water. Lick the ground. Ice,
actually,
lick, water.
It's kind of a good point.
Right?
Is it the driest place on Earth if you can lick the Earth and it turns into water? I don't think it is.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not a scientist, but every once in a while I'll put that hat on. You know?
Yeah, I guess.
That's why they call me Einstein Jr. over here.
But no one really wants to lick Antarctica.
Right.
But hey, I'll tell you what, if I had no water...
But in a pinch, you're going to lick Antarctica if it's going to save your life.
I'll tell you what.
I'll lick Antarctica from here till the cows come home. If I'm alive.
There have probably been millions of people in world history who have died in a desert of thirst.
Oh.
Who would have preferred to be able to lick
Are
the ground.
Are you kidding me?
Correct.
Oh, imagine.
Correct.
You're right.
Lick the ground.
Oh,
problem solved.
Right.
All right, JB, what do you got on the Phils? The Eagles, talk to us.
I think the problem with that is also it's probably about 50 below, so you're not going to even open up your mouth in Antarctica. But anyway. Sorry, the Eagles, or I'm sorry, I'll go to Phils first. It is mystifying the decision that Rob Thomson, like, make no attempt, especially with reunion, you know, Hall of Fame or Wall Weekend or whatever, because this team runs on so much, they run on so much, like, team camaraderie, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. Like, how they don't even take that into account. Like, hey, this is a big weekend for the city, yada, yada, yada. Let's like have Bryce ready. Let's have JT ready. It just makes zero sense to me.
None. Look, it's not about the weekend. It's not about it's alumni weekend. Let's have Bryce
hit. They do run on a lot of emotion. That's why we talked about how they didn't pick up players and we kept Marsh. He's such a team guy. He's such whatever. You know what I mean? Like, this team is so driven with, like, vibes, so to speak, and then you don't have your two best hitters ready for vibe.
Well, JB, you know what I consider maybe the strangest part of it is that I think Rob Thomson is a really level-headed, smart, wise person. I mean, as wisdom goes in Philadelphia sports coaches and managers in my lifetime, I'd put him really high up there. But then he gives you some decisions that are just like it makes no sense.
It is wild. As far as the Eagles are concerned, I probably hammered this home a couple times. I'm really excited to see what Fangio does with that front.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Booker to fourth, and then, you know, Milton Williams. Let's see what kind of, like, with technique and scheme, how they emerge as the controlling the front, because, you know, especially on a 30 front, if the front doesn't control, the back end's going
to
be in trouble.
Well, you know what I think you're going to see, JB, because their pass rush, I think, is certainly not great. We'll see if it's even good or average. I think you're going to see some Jalen Carter outside, because, you know, there's a chance Jalen Carter is just their best pass rusher. And you don't want to necessarily lose him inside where it's harder to get to the quarterback. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if they bounce him outside sometimes and say, go get the QB.
Sure, they could do that, but they'll also bounce those DNs inside. You know, they've had a lot of success doing the NASCAR, I think they call it, stuff.
Yep. That's how Brandon Graham got Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
It's a mismatch against guards. Yeah. We've got some serious quickness, and we've seen it. Like Milton Williams, great first step and explosion upfield, but Ojomo also. Tuipulotu has been around here for a long time, and Mustafa is here to stop the run, but if he can give you more push than Jordan Davis, he might be able to find his way onto the field more than you think.
All right, JB, give me a great answer for the Incubus tickets. A mystifying decision.
A mystifying decision. How about the people of Troy accepting the Trojan horse?
Listen, man, that's we get why they accepted the horse. What we don't get, John, is why they didn't put it through a metal detector. What's inside that horse?
This is a brilliant move.
It really is. In world history, it is a great move. Let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's selection of quality one-owner pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. All right, two different poll questions, actually. The first, as we've been talking a lot about with Rob Thompson in that decision, but one of four things I think it's fair to say big picture stood out this weekend. The first question: what struck you the most from the Phillies weekend? Is it A, the wins and all the good parts of that, you know, Sanchez and Trey and all that stuff? Is it B, alumni weekend, which was awesome, always is? Is it C, Taiwan still struggling? I mean I can't imagine they go to him too much longer. Or is it, especially with the Dodgers and Brewers right on the Phils, or is it D, and this is clearly the answer from my standpoint, Rob Thompson not using Bryce Harper and or JT yesterday in the ninth inning? Which hits you the most from the weekend? And it's a shame to me that D becomes the answer after, what would you have, 36 innings worth of a game, right? 9 times 4, 30. You got 36 innings. You got good stuff. You know, you got. I mean, if you want to go back to Thursday, John, you got a cycle on Thursday.
Right.
You got a walk off from Trey on Friday.
13-3 on Thursday.
It's almost a grand slam.
Just a slaughter.
By the way, let's go back to Wednesday. Wednesday you have, and I know I'm stretching beyond the poll, but Wednesday you have a grand slam from Schwarber. Thursday you have a cycle. Friday you have Trey with a walk off, which is almost a grand slam. I mean, really close to a grand slam. Saturday, you got Christopher Sanchez, one of the great starts this year, and you feel like, all right, I got Chris Sanchez back. Let's move it. Let's go. Like, playoffs coming up. This is my guy for the fourth start. Might be the third start if Ranger doesn't reestablish. And then it's like, all right, I can deal with losing on Sunday. I can deal with it. It's a loss. But to not have Harper and JT bat in the ninth inning? Can't deal with that. So that question, obviously, you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and Wayne on the phone lines. The other poll question, and this is just one of those just kind of seeing where people are at type questions. We haven't even discussed it as a show topic. Maybe we will another show. But which team do you think has a better chance to win a championship in the next 6 months? The current Philly season or the one with the Eagles just about to start? I mean, it's probably pretty close. Who do you think has a better shot to win the title? Phillies or Eagles? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. By the way, what Sirianni said about N'Kobe Dean over the weekend, we're going to get to that shortly. Let's go to Tom. He's calling from Del Ran. What's up, Tom?
How you doing this morning?
Doing well, Tom.
My question is, if Marshawn was up on this team right now, are we having part of this conversation?
No.
Okay, so I know Stubbs, he's a great, great guy in the clubhouse, but you know what? Maybe it's time to start putting the great guys on the field.
I agree with you.
Okay.
And Tom, I didn't feel that way about Marchand a month ago. I have changed my opinion based on, one, more Stubbs struggles, and two, some team struggles, and I'm ready for best players.
Right. Is he a he's a switch hitter, too, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay, well,
and his OPS is almost 900. Man.
Yeah, so what are we waiting for? What, because they got to play games down there? They don't want him to sit? It's ridiculous. Time to get the best players on the field now when the games count the most.
Totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
So, totally agree.
That's all I have.
No, listen, that's a mic drop right to the point. Tom, give me a big-time answer, a mystifying decision in honor or dishonor of Rob Thompson's decision yesterday. Give me something else through the years.
I can't understand for the life of me why we took the starting pitcher out in the World Series and put Mitch Williams in.
Well, I said it earlier. I'll write it down. I said it earlier. I mean, let me put it this way. We did this in part because of Rob Thompson yesterday, and I referenced Mitch. And you know, it's not Mitch per se. Not, I don't want to say it wasn't his fault, but his arm was shot. Fregosi never should have put him in. By the way, it wasn't not having the starting pitcher pitch because the Game 6 starter had been... Oh, man, I'm losing my mind here. Tommy Green was in the bullpen. I think it was Mulholland because Schilling had pitched 5. Yeah, I think it was Mulholland. But the point is they were past the starter at that point. I mean, they were through
Roger
the...
Roger Mason went through a score of 6?
He pitched 2 innings.
Okay.
Roger Mason pitched the 6th and 7th. And then I think the 8th and 9th was Larry Anderson and David West combined, I think. They should have had Roger Mason pitch the 8th. The whole thing was a mess. The whole thing was a mess.
I thought he was going to say Zach Wheeler.
I did too. Mm. But I had also said that one earlier. So we kind of got all those. Because here's the thing. The thing about Sirianni. The thing about Rob Thompson yesterday, why it bothers me so much, is it reminds me of the worst of some of these actually quality managers in a lot of cases in Philadelphia sports history or coaches. Like, Andy was a good coach. John, I know he'd drive you nuts not running the ball. He'd drive us all nuts.
Of course. The offensive linemen, we would have like little sewing circles after games. Really. Complaining to one, Fregosi, like, why on earth didn't we go with 95 solid there?
Fregosi was a good manager. I mean, he did a spectacular job in 93. He had an all-time mistake at the end. I mean, an all-time mistake. And I need Rob Thompson, who, by the way, has had 2 of them, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of many of us, might be one less all-time than in Game 6 in 93. But, I mean, taking Wheeler out in 22 and then putting Kimbrel in 23, I mean, to me, we're... obvious mistakes in the moment before you even saw the outcome. And I don't need more of that. By the way, I'll tell you what I do need, being at training camp. Tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, we'll do our show from training camp. That will be a lot of fun. Obviously, we'll talk Phils from out there, but a lot of Eagles as well. We expect some interviews tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday on our show, some training camp shows. By the way, congratulations to Council Rock Newtown. Talking about rocking and rolling in the Little League World Series. So they had dropped a game. They needed to win 2 over the weekend. They did survive in advance. They have moved on. They got another game tomorrow night. So to all the boys from Council Rock Newtown and the adults overseeing that squad, great job making our region proud. Keep it going in really what is one of the really cool American traditions, the Little League World Series. Keep it going. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Silver. He's calling from Germantown. What's up, Silver?
Yeah, so I don't agree with you guys about putting Harper in or JT. I was down at the game yesterday. Well, they wouldn't let me in because they stopped selling tickets after the 6 inning or whatever happened.
Okay.
So I'm like, you know, it's tied up right now. What if it goes into extra innings? They like, well, you know, there's nothing we could do. So I hear all the commotion, then whatever happens. But it was raining, though. So why would you put your superstar player in the 9th inning?
Because he probably won't get hurt.
Oh, yeah, because he probably won't, right?
You asked me the question. I'm answering because he probably won't get hurt. I recognize he could. I'm not oblivious to that.
I think it's a good point, though, Silver. Like, it is something I had not considered today while we've been talking about
Silver,
this.
Let me ask you.
And it came down, like, in a burst. It was, like, a pretty heavy rain.
Silver, I want to ask you a question. Right. Give me an honest answer here. Do you believe that Rob Thompson would have batted them if it had not been raining? Because I don't. We've seen non-rain a number of times this year where Rob Thompson leaves the stud player on the bench in a clean weather game. Do you actually believe he would have hit these guys if there's no rain?
I actually believe that he wouldn't have. No.
You think he wouldn't have?
He wasn't going to play them at all.
Correct.
No, I don't think he would have.
Correct. Yeah. Unacceptable.
Yeah, because I mean, I accept it though. I'm happy with the decision that he made. You know,
look, I know you are. I disagree with your position, but I respect where you're coming from. I just think it's the wrong decision. I think Rob Thompson made the wrong decision.
It's so conservative. I can't feel like this is the right decision and then say, hey, Jalen Hurts should run the ball freely and it makes our offense work better. Like, I know I'm crossing sports, but I do not think these guys are made out of paper mache and they can go out there and perform their sport because it is the best thing that they're... This is the thing they're best at in the world.
And it's an
at-bat. Go out there and do your thing and you should be allowed
Stretch.
To do that thing.
Look,
to give your team a chance to win a game that does matter.
John, when I got injured years ago with the groin, it's because I was a dummy and didn't know I had to stretch. I didn't know. I was in my early 40s. I didn't realize, hey, you're not 20 anymore. You better stretch. Okay.
They know how to.
JT and Bryce know how to stretch.
They
know how to stretch.
You know, you do get hung up on our quarterback's health an awful lot more than it seems like you're getting hung up on JT and Bryce's health.
Can I tell you why? Because NFL linebackers are involved in tackling the quarterback. Bryce Harper wasn't going to be tackled yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, we're just
Good
talking
point,
about
Joe.
A baseball at bat. And then maybe grab a glove if you extend it to extra innings.
And that is, well,
we're
okay,
not
is the nature
to,
of the sport.
We're not
hit,
asking him to go in a
pads.
Cage with frickin' Conor McGregor.
All right. That's completely different, too.
Silver, give me an answer. A mystifying decision. What do you got?
I got game 6 of the NBA Finals. I think that was 2013. Popovich took out Tim Duncan, and then they go ahead and take it into game 7 Miami.
It's funny. I don't remember Duncan being taken out. I do remember up 5 was when the 2 free throws were missed. And, I mean, the game totally seemed over. If Duncan was out, I don't remember that. That would – look, I was still annoyed that Larry Brown took out Dikembe. In game 3, at the very end, when that 3-pointer got made, I think he was trying to, whatever the hell it was. He took Dikembe out for a point. Look, when Shaq fouled out of game 3, I thought the Sixers were going to win the freaking game. And then they'd end. And it's not the Sixers' fault. I mean, the Lakers were unbelievable.
The Duncan thing became a thing because Chris Bosh got that rebound and then kicked it out to Ray Allen.
Duncan was not on the floor for that rebound?
No.
Wow. Wow, I don't remember that.
That was a crazy shot, though, by Ray.
Justin, what
shot
the heck?
Was
How
incredible.
Do you remember this?
I love the NBA Finals. I could tell you probably from 2010, because born in the year 2000, so my memory on the 2001 Finals is a little vague, so I can't help you out. But since 2010, I could probably tell you who was in the Finals and how many games it ended in.
All right, so let me just say a couple of things. First off, ladies and gentlemen, this is why Justin Morgenstern is going to take Seltzer's job someday. All right? And Seltzer better watch his freaking P's and Q's.
That's my guy.
All right? Because by the way, I heard over the weekend, John, where P's and Q's come from. Pints and quarts. It had something to do with drinking back in the day.
Ah.
And P's and Q's came from pints and quarts, something about in taverns, something, watch your... Pine
okay,
supports.
That makes sense.
So Seltzer sort better of. Watch it, all right? Or he's going to be Wally Pipped around here. And Justin, good having you in here today. Let's listen to Rob Thompson. Seltzer, by the way, will be back later in the week. He's just taking a couple days off. Rob Thompson, and then believe it or not, the next person you're going to hear from is Steve Jeltz, and I'm not making that up, all right? I'm not making it up. First Rob Thompson, then Steve Jeltz. Here's Topper after the game. Asked about, you know, no Bryce, no JT, why not? Here's Rob Thompson's explanation.
With the timer on the play of the night, why not pinch it with Bryce there?
I want to give both him and JT full day.
In the moment, is that hard for you to not want to put one of your best hitters up there?
Absolutely, but I'm thinking long term as well. Yeah, and that, you know, that's what I'm thinking about is that this is going to be a tough stretch, no doubt, and we got to be able to handle it, and we got to have healthy bodies and rested bodies, and so that we give ourselves every chance to play well.
All right, I just don't like it. We know he's thinking long term, like we know that, but I just don't think he's connecting the dots.
He really
the right way.
Believes it matters for JT and Bryce. Is this more than physical? Is this he knows that they're so run down at this stage of the season? I'm just trying to figure out what he's thinking.
Can I ask you a question, John?
Is it a mental day?
It's
a break?
A little bit of both.
To get away? Is it
probably
too much to ask when you've told them, hey, you're getting this day
for you. Mental day break. Get away from thinking about it. And then, hey, by the way, could you get in there?
Yeah.
Like, maybe that is
John,
a hard ask.
You and I, and we've been doing the show together for 8 years now, and we've seen more and more and more and more of this in sports. I mean, really, it's the last decade's been incredible. You and I both think, both within sports and society, too much is too easy on too many.
Sure.
And this is just another, I mean, you,
it's another example.
It's
of
another
that.
Example.
I agree with
you. I mean,
you.
If Rob Thompson was Joel Embiid's coach, he'd have him play 18 games a season. Because you got to keep them healthy for the playoffs, and we'll try to just kind of make the playoffs and then have Joel ready to go for April. I mean, come on. All right, so Steve Jeltz.
Are these guys going to be able to give our teams a boost for longer than Jeremiah Trotter did because he was tough and he was asked to sacrifice? And he was going out there and covering kickoffs while starting in the NFL.
Look,
like, they didn't worry about his health.
I've heard the theory that, and it may be true, I've heard the theory that Jimmy Rollins played longer than Chase Utley because Jimmy didn't run as hard as Chase Utley.
We've always talked about that.
I mean,
and Chase ran out everything.
That might be true.
Sure.
It might be true. But
who would you rather be? Like, in the grand scheme of things, I would prefer that I have guys on my team with the mindset that they're going to go all out, go all in.
Here's where my thing. While I'm not shirking your question, John, in my opinion, it doesn't apply to yesterday. We're talking about an at bat. We're talking about one at-bat in a baseball season, and if you get it to extra innings, maybe you grab a glove and play an inning or two.
That's why has to be a that. It seems so odd and strange.
No,
that,
it's what
I
they believe.
One at-bat. But Rob Thompson feels like this was monumental enough. Like, the ask was too large.
Oh, I know.
Large.
It's what he thinks. He believes
it. It doesn't compute to me.
Me
but
neither.
There has to be so much more that's going on in his mind that he's just not letting us in on.
I'm sure the sports scientists are weighing in behind the scenes. Look, I just wish, we knew what John Middleton and Dave Dombrowski think. Because I'm telling you guys, if I am Middleton and my team loses the inside track for home field advantage and then loses in the playoffs, I know they lost Game 7 here at home last year. It's not foolproof. It's not like you get home field advantage and then voila, you're in the World Series. It doesn't work that way. We know that. But we also know you'd rather have home field advantage than not. Guys, they are dangerously close to having to play in the first round of the playoffs. Even if they win the division by 7 games, which is what they're currently up on the Braves, the Dodgers are a half a game behind the Phillies. The Brewers, who won 5 in a row, are 1 game behind the Phils, and the Phils have 38 games to go.
I guarantee you Middleton hated it. I guarantee you most of the alumni hated it.
Oh, I would guarantee you 100% of the alumni hated it. And I tend to think you're right, Rhea. I bet you Middleton did hate it. Yeah. Now, maybe Dombrowski and Rob Thompson are on the same page. I mean, you know, they typically seem to be. But, man, all right, so alumni, great stuff with the alumni this week. And, I mean, a couple highlights, obviously, David Montgomery. Boy, I always struggle with the word posthumously, John. Help me, how do you say it?
Posthumously.
Posthumously. Being honored properly, rightfully so. Great ceremony the other day with David Montgomery enshrined in the Phillies Wall of Fame. That was special. The Carlos Ruiz stuff on Friday was special. Sunday with, so many notable alums back. Special. I mean, it's great. It makes me feel happy as a Phillies fan, and I appreciate the Phillies as unlike the Sixers. I'm reading a book on Barkley right now, John. I'm reading this book on Barkley. I'm reading about the 90 team, and I love that team. I mean, has Mike Jaminski, Hersey Hawkins, or Johnny Dawkins, or Ron Anderson, or Derek Smith, Rhea, have they been back? Have the Sixers, do they have any relationship with those guys? Why is it always Dr. J, Allen Iverson, Dr. J, Allen Iverson,
they are
Dr. J, Allen Iverson? I mean, guys, I get it. Those two and Barkley, they're your big three that are alive. Billy C, obviously. Yeah. Wilt's been dead. But can we get to level two? Can we get to level three? I mean, well, actually, Derek Smith passed away a few years ago. I should say that. Sixers, Derek Smith. But my God, like, the Sixers have and I appreciate, I really do, that the Phillies have this connection with their past. It's great. It's great. But, all right, Steve Jeltz. So he's in town yesterday. Now, obviously, anyone, from 30, 40 years ago, if you're old enough to see Steve Jeltz, late 80s, early 90s, he was, he was one of our guys, but he was a below average player, but he was here for, a handful of years. I met him a couple years ago. He's been around a lot in recent years, the Darren Dalton Foundation, Phillies alum that weekend. It's a great guy.
What game is he most famous for?
He's most famous for hitting the two home runs after the Pirates announcer said.
The Jim Rooker game.
Yes, if the Phillies come back from the 11-0 deficit, this Pirates announcer will walk to Pittsburgh. Walk back to Pittsburgh. And God bless that dude. He walked back to Pittsburgh, not after the games. Of course, he had to get on a plane
after
and go somewhere.
Season.
After the season, a big charity thing. And the Pirates announcer did hundreds of miles of walk, raised money for charity. That was great. Steve Jeltz hit two home runs. It was a total shock, and the Phillies won the game. All right. So Jeltz yesterday, I did not hear this live, but he's in town, like a number of the alums are in town. And lo and behold, John, and by the way, some of them are probably listening right now, and alums, we'll field your phone call, 215-592-9494. I know you love your organization. We all do. But Steve Jeltz out of nowhere yesterday, John. It's like, what are we doing here? Let's listen to Steve Jeltz after the game. He's driving home, I guess, listening to Rob Ellis after the game, and Steve Jeltz calls in.
Is this Steve Jeltz, former Philly Steve Jeltz, Terry? All right. Steve Jeltz.
How you doing?
Is this my man, Steve Jeltz?
This is Steve Jeltz.
Former Philly shortstop?
Yes, sir.
Steve, it was great to hear from you. Were you at the game today or the weekend, the alumni weekend?
Yeah, we're here for alumni weekend.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, I was just listening to everybody talking about what's going on and the fact that they're leaving guys on the bench and not playing them in situations. And, you know, I know I get it's frustrating completely. And I agree with you when you say, well, you got the guy sitting on the bench. You got a day off tomorrow and you need him to swing the bat. You need those guys in the game at the end of the game. I mean, one at bat's not going, that doesn't ruin your day off, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, I can guarantee you those two guys are ready to play.
One at bat does not ruin your day off.
I love it.
I mean, and that's Steve Jeltz.
That counts for a lot.
Right?
That counts for a ton. He guarantees those guys wanted to get in there. That, jeez.
I mean, let me put it this way, John, just for everyone who's too young to know. I just want to frame it this way. And Steve, if you're listening, please know I mean this is no disrespect to you. None. And Rhea, I think you will agree with this. What happened yesterday would be the equivalent for the boys and girls out there that didn't see Steve Jeltz and Mike Schmidt. It would be like if Steve Jeltz started a game, it's the bottom of the ninth, and like Nick Leyva or Jim Fregosi or whomever back then is like, you know what, we're sticking with Jeltz in the ninth instead of Mike Schmidt who's on the bench.
No,
Bryce Harper was ready to go, and frickin', I can't even remember the guy's name, Cal Stevenson.
Yeah. It's no disrespect. Listen, what's
his
name?
It's ridiculous.
Jeltz had, I looked it up, five career home runs. Two came in one game. Both sides of the plate, by the way.
And he was here probably, what, three, four, five years?
Yeah, he was here. But, I mean, he would have been like, no, Schmidt needs to come up to bat.
Come on.
It's ridiculous.
All right, 215-592-9494. Reaction on all this. By the way, I also want to get to some Eagles stuff. You know, N'Kobe Dean is turning heads. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni talking about N'Kobe Dean. And look, I think a lot of it, did I write N'Kobe off? Just about. I had just about written him off.
I thought. I thought he was small, slow, average, didn't have the instincts we were looking for. Just not at all what we thought we were getting.
Yeah, maybe hangs around for another year or two, but not a factor.
Right.
Just a guy that's just a special teams dude with no upside. And,
yes.
And like, it's not going to be a long career. That was my mindset a month or two ago. Let's listen to Sirianni speaking over the weekend about N'Kobe Dean.
Where do you think N'Kobe is? Difficult rehab. What have you seen from him at this stage?
Yeah, I think he's had a nice camp. I'm excited about that linebacker group. You know, we got some guys that haven't played at all, and we have some guys that are veterans, and I'm excited about that group. And N'Kobe played really well in the game. You know, I know, Bo, you asked me about who played well. I thought N'Kobe played a really, really good game. He was flying around to the ball.
You know, by the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake studio. We're going to be at training camp tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. Let's listen to more of Sirianni as he continued on N'Kobe.
His fundamentals, and his tackling, and his block destruction, and then his effort on his plays is really where it's you're being able to see his talent.
All right, so John, I want to ask you this.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you this question because we're all getting excited to be much more excited about him. I want to take it to this step. Do you, John, can we count on him? Has he reached that level yet?
Yeah, I don't know yet. Yeah.
I agree with you, by the way. I agree with that.
What I've seen that's different is he is more reckless. You know, he is more willing to just let it rip. You know, he's hitting people. He's more aggressive.
Fire, you got to go?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, maybe he added some weight in the offseason. Maybe he's stronger. I don't know, but he's got an attitude about him that he has not previously had. Maybe it's confidence. You know, maybe it's the competition.
By the way, small guys need it.
Yeah,
I mean, if you don't, if you're small, no, you know, the thing
you
about
trick yourself into believing yeah. that you can take on every block yeah. and destroy the blocks, like Sirianni says, block destruction.
Yep.
He's actually destroying blocks this year. I watched N'Kobe Dean at practice blitz Will Shipley and blow him up. I thought, wow, that was an awesome hit. That's a guy who really is taking it seriously. Wow, that sounded really good. Who was that? N'Kobe Dean?
That's great.
And then you'd see more and more of him. Then the game comes and you see him making, you know, spectacular plays. He's penetrating. He really is a better player than what we saw previously. And a lot of it is attitude above all else.
Look, we've seen a couple, not too many, but we have seen a couple players in the history of the Eagles. And I'm going to give you two first rounders who did squat-ta in their first couple years and then became real contributors. One, Nelson Agholor. Year three, I mean, he was a real factor when they won the Super Bowl and specifically in that game, but all season. And two, I mean, probably the all-time example, Brandon Graham. And for BG, it took him to year four. Year four is when he turned a corner. I mean, N'Kobe in the first 2 years did nothing. Nothing. Now, granted, there was an injury last year, but I didn't see it last year, even before he got hurt. In the limited time we saw him play, I thought he looked like a ham and egger. But if N'Kobe can bring it, and John, as you're saying, push the other guys who were essentially slated to be the starters, and by the way, be a pathway lane. Let's say Devin White is one and done, which is a distinct possibility. It's a one-year deal. But if you can then pass the baton to N'Kobe Dean, still get him cheap year four, maybe you want to sign him. But you know what I'm saying. Like, that helps your salary cap. You know, that's the idea. That's what you want to do. And if he can start this year and get in there, that's awesome. 215-592-9494. Coming up, more on the Eagles as Vic Fangio talked about Jalen Carter. Also, a fascinating John Middleton story. We'll detail that. And your phone calls, your reaction to Rob Thompson not having JT or Bryce bat in the ninth inning. What do you make of it? Or do you just make no sense of it? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, it's 94 WIP.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Getting hung up on JT and Bryce's health.
Can I tell you why? Because NFL linebackers are involved in tackling the quarterback. Bryce Harper wasn't going to be tackled yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, we're just talking about a baseball at bat. And then maybe grab a glove if you extend it to extra innings.
And that is, well,
we're
okay,
not
is
asking
the nature
him to,
of the sport.
We're not
hit,
asking him to go in a
pads.
Cage with frickin' Conor McGregor.
All right. That's completely different, too.
Silver, give me an answer. A mystifying decision. What do you got?
I got game six of the NBA Finals. I think that was 2013. Popovich took out Tim Duncan, and then they go ahead and take it into game seven, Miami.
It's funny. I don't remember Duncan being taken out. I do remember up five was when the two free throws were missed. And, I mean, the game totally seemed over. If Duncan was out, I don't remember that. That would – look, I'm still annoyed that Larry Brown took out Dikembe in game three at the very end when that three-pointer got made. I think he was trying to – whatever the hell it was. He took Dikembe out for a point. Look, when Shaq fouled out of game three, I thought the Sixers were going to win the freaking game. And then they didn't. And it's not the Sixers' fault. I mean, the Lakers were unbelievable.
The Duncan thing became a thing because Chris Bosh got that rebound and then kicked it out to Ray Allen.
Duncan was not on the floor for that rebound?
No.
Wow, I don't remember that.
That was a crazy shot, though, by Ray.
Justin, what the heck?
Was
How
incredible.
Do you remember this?
I love the NBA Finals. I could tell you probably from 2010, because born in the year 2000, so my memory on the 2001 Finals is a little vague, so I can't help you out. But since 2010, I could probably tell you who was in the finals and how many games it ended in.
All right, so let me just say a couple of things. First off, ladies and gentlemen, this is why Justin Morgenstein is going to take Seltzer's job someday. All right? And Seltzer better watch his freaking P's and Q's.
That's my guy.
All right? Oh, by the way, I heard over the weekend, John, where P's and Q's comes from. Pints and quarts. It had something to do with drinking back in the day.
Ah.
And P's and Q's came from pints and quarts, something about in taverns, something, watch your... Pints
okay, that makes sense.
So Seltzer better watch it, all right? Or he's going to be Wally Pipped around here. And Justin, good having you in here today. Let's listen to Rob Thompson. Seltzer, by the way, will be back later in the week. He's just taking a couple days off. Rob Thompson, and then believe it or not, the next person you're going to hear from is Steve Jeltz, and I'm not making that up, all right? I'm not making it up. First Rob Thompson, then Steve Jeltz. Here's Topper after the game. Asked about, you know, no Bryce, no JT, why not? Here's Rob Thompson's explanation.
With the timer on the plate tonight, why not pinch it with Bryce there?
I wanted to give both him and JT full day.
Any moment, is that hard for you to not want to put one of your best hitters in there?
Absolutely, but I'm thinking long term as well. Yeah, and that, you know, that's what I'm thinking about is that this is going to be a tough stretch, no doubt, and we got to be able to handle it, and we got to have healthy bodies and rested bodies, so that we give ourselves every chance to play well.
All right, I just don't like it. We know he's thinking long term, like we know that, but I just don't think he's connecting the dots.
He really
the right
believes
way.
It matters for JT and Bryce. Is this more than physical? Is this he knows that they're so run down at this stage of the season? I'm just trying to figure out what he's thinking.
Can I ask you a question, John?
Is it a mental day?
It's
a
probably
break?
A little bit of both.
To get away? Is it
probably
too much to ask when you've told them, hey, you're getting this day for you, mental day, break, get away from thinking about it. And then, hey, by the way, could you get in there?
Yeah.
Like, maybe that is
John,
a hard ask.
You and I, and we've been doing the show together for 8 years now, and we've seen more and more and more and more of this in sports. I mean, really, it's the last decade's been incredible. You and I both think, both within sports and society, too much is too easy on too many.
Sure.
And this is just another, I mean,
it's another example.
It's another example.
I agree with you.
I mean, if Rob Thompson was Joel Embiid's coach, he'd have him play 18 games a season. Because you got to keep him healthy for the playoffs, and we'll try to just kind of make the playoffs and then have Joel ready to go for April. I mean, come on. All right, so Steve Jeltz.
Are these guys going to be able to give our teams a boost for longer than Jeremiah Trotter did because he was tough and he was asked to sacrifice. And he was going out there and covering kickoffs while starting in the NFL. Look, like, they didn't worry about his health.
I've heard the theory that, and it may be true, I've heard the theory that Jimmy Rollins played longer than Chase Utley because Jimmy didn't run as hard as Chase Utley.
We've always talked about that. I mean, that Chase ran out everything.
That might be true. Sure. It might be true. But
who would you rather be? Like, in the grand scheme of things, I would prefer that I have guys on my team with the mindset that they're going to go all out, so, go all in.
Here's where my thing. While I'm not shirking your question, John. In my opinion, it doesn't apply to yesterday. We're talking about an at-bat. We're talking about one at-bat in a baseball season, and if you get it to extra innings, maybe you grab a glove and play an inning or two.
That's why has to be that. It seems so odd and strange.
No, it's what they believe.
One at-bat. But Rob Thompson feels like this was monumental enough. Like, the ask was too large.
Oh, I know.
Large.
It's what he thinks. He believes
it doesn't compute to me.
Me
but
neither.
There has to be so much more that's going on in his mind that he's just not letting us in on.
I'm sure the sports scientists are weighing in behind the scenes. Look, I just wish, we knew what John Middleton and Dave Dombrowski think. Because I'm telling you guys, if I am Middleton and my team loses the inside track for home field advantage and then loses in the playoffs, I know they lost Game 7 here at home last year. It's not foolproof. It's not like you get home field advantage and then voila, you're in the World Series. It doesn't work that way. We know that. But we also know you'd rather have home field advantage than not. Guys, they are dangerously close to having to play in the first round of the playoffs. Even if they win the division by 7 games, which is what they're currently up on the Braves, the Dodgers are a half a game behind the Phillies. The Brewers, who won 5 in a row, are 1 game behind the Phils, and the Phils have 38 games to go.
I guarantee you Middleton hated it. I guarantee you most of the alumni hated it.
Oh, I would guarantee you 100% of the alumni hated it. And I tend to think you're right, Rhea. I bet you Middleton did hate it. Yeah. Now, maybe Dombrowski and Rob Thompson are on the same page. I mean, you know, they typically seem to be. But, man, all right, so alumni, great stuff with the alumni this week. And, I mean, a couple highlights, obviously, David Montgomery. I always struggle with the word posthumously, John. Help me, how do you say it?
Posthumously.
Posthumously. Being honored properly and rightfully so. Great ceremony the other day with David Montgomery enshrined in the Phillies Wall of Fame. That was special. The Carlos Ruiz stuff on Friday was special. Sunday with, so many notable alums back. Special. I mean, it's great. It makes me feel happy as a Phillies fan, and I appreciate the Phillies unlike the Sixers. I'm reading a book on Barkley right now, John. I'm reading this book on Barkley. I'm reading about the 90 team, and I love that team. I mean, has Mike Jaminski, Hersey Hawkins, or Johnny Dawkins, or Ron Anderson, or Derek Smith, Rhea, have they been back? Have the Sixers, do they have any relationship with those guys? Why is it always Dr. J, Allen Iverson, Dr. J, Allen Iverson?
They are
Dr. J, Allen Iverson. I mean, guys, I get it. Those two and Barkley, they're your big three that are alive. Billy C, obviously. Yeah. Wilt's been dead. But can we get to level two? Can we get to level three? I mean, Derek Smith passed away a few years ago. I should say that. Sixers, Derek Smith. But my God, like, the Sixers have no real. And I appreciate, I really do, that the Phillies have this connection with their past. It's great. It's great. But, all right, Steve Jeltz. So he's in town yesterday. Now, obviously, anyone, from 30, 40 years ago, if you're old enough to see Steve Jeltz, late 80s, early 90s, he was, he was one of our guys, but he was a below-average player, but he was here for, a handful of years. I met him a couple years ago. He's been around a lot in recent years, the Darren Dalton Foundation, Phillies Alumni Weekends. Great guy.
What game is he most famous for?
He's most famous for hitting the two home runs after the Pirates announcer said...
The Jim Rooker game.
Yes, if the Phillies come back from the 11-0 deficit, this Pirates announcer will walk to Pittsburgh. Walk back to Pittsburgh. And God bless that dude. He walked back to Pittsburgh, not after the game. Of course, he had to get on a plane
after
and go somewhere.
Season.
After the season, a big charity thing. And the Pirates announcer did hundreds of miles of walk, raised money for charity, and that was great. Steve Jeltz hit two home runs. It was a total shock, and the Phillies won the game. All right. So Jeltz yesterday, I did not hear this live, but he's in town like a number of the alums are in town. And lo and behold, John, and by the way, some of them are probably listening right now, and alums, we'll field your phone call, 215-592-9494. I know you love your organization. We all do. But Steve Jeltz out of nowhere yesterday, John, It's like, what are we doing here? Let's listen to Steve Jeltz after the game. He's driving home, I guess, listening to Rob Ellis after the game. And Steve Jeltz calls in.
Is this Steve Jeltz, former Philly? Steve Jeltz, Terry? All right. Steve Jeltz.
How you doing?
Is this my man, Steve Jeltz?
This is Steve Jeltz.
Former Philly shortstop?
Yes, sir.
Steve, it was great to hear from you. Were you at the game today or the weekend, the alumni weekend?
Yeah, we're here for alumni weekend.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, I was just listening to everybody talking about what's going on and the fact that they're leaving guys on the bench and not playing them in key situations. And, you know, I get it's frustrating completely. And I agree with you when you say, well, you got the guy sitting on the bench, and you got a day off tomorrow, and you need him to swing the bat. You need those guys in the game at the end of the game. I mean, one at bat's not going to, that doesn't ruin your day off, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, I can guarantee you those two guys are ready to play.
One at bat does not ruin your day off.
I love it.
I mean, and that's Steve Jeltz.
That counts for a lot.
Right?
That counts for a ton. He guarantees those guys wanted to get in there. That, jeez.
I mean, let me put it this way, John, just for everyone who's too young to know. I just want to frame it this way. And Steve, if you're listening, please know I mean this is no disrespect to you. None. And Rhea, I think you will agree with this. What happened yesterday would be the equivalent for the boys and girls out there that didn't see Steve Jeltz and Mike Schmidt. It would be like if Steve Jeltz started a game, it's the bottom of the ninth, and like Nick Leyva or Jim Fregosi or whomever back then is like, you know what, we're sticking with Jeltz in the ninth instead of Mike Schmidt who's on the bench. Bryce Harper was ready to go, and frickin', I can't even remember the guy's name, Cal Stevenson.
Yeah. It's no disrespect. Listen,
it's
his name?
It's ridiculous.
Jeltz had, I looked it up, five career home runs. Two came in one game. Both sides of the plate, by the way.
And he was here probably, what, four or five years?
Yeah, he was here. But, I mean, he would have been like, no, Schmidt needs to come up to bat.
Come on.
It's ridiculous.
All right, 215-592-9494. Reaction on all this. By the way, I also want to get to some Eagles stuff. You know, N'Kobe Dean is turning heads. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni talking about N'Kobe Dean. And look, I think a lot of it, did I write N'Kobe off? Just about. I had just about written him off.
I thought. I thought he was small, slow, average, didn't have the instincts we were looking for. Just not at all what we thought we were getting.
Yeah, maybe hangs around for another year or two, but not a factor.
Right.
Just a guy that's just a special teams dude with no upside. And like, it's not going to be a long career. That was my mindset a month or two ago. Let's listen to Sirianni speaking over the weekend about N'Kobe Dean.
Where do you think N'Kobe is? Difficult rehab. What have you seen from him at this stage?
Yeah, I think he's had a nice camp. I'm excited about that linebacker group. You know, we got some guys that haven't played at all, and we have some guys that are veterans, and I'm excited about that group. And N'Kobe played really well in the game. You know, I know, Bo, you asked me about who played well. I thought N'Kobe played a really, really good game. He was flying around to the ball.
You know, by the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake studio. We're going to be at training camp tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. Let's listen to more of Sirianni as he continued on N'Kobe.
His fundamentals, his tackling, his block destruction, and then his effort on his plays is really where you're being able to see his talent.
All right, so John, I want to ask
Go ahead.
I want to ask you this question because we're all getting excited to be much more excited about him. I want to take it to this step. Do you, John, can we count on him? Has he reached that level yet?
Yeah, I don't know yet. Okay.
I agree with you, by the way. I agree with that.
What I've seen that's different is he is more reckless. You know, he is more willing to just let it rip. You know, he's hitting people. He's more aggressive.
Fire, you got to go?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe he added some weight in the offseason. Maybe he's stronger. I don't know, but he's got an attitude about him that he has not previously had. Maybe it's confidence. You know, maybe it's the competition.
By the way, small guys need it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're small,
trick yourself into believing that you can take on every block and destroy the blocks. Like Sirianni says, block destruction.
Yep.
He's actually destroying blocks this year. I watched N'Kobe Dean at practice blitz Will Shipley and blow him up. I thought, wow,
that was an awesome hit. That's a guy who really is taking it seriously. Wow, that sounded really good. Who was that? N'Kobe Dean?
That's great.
And then you'd see more and more of him. Then the game comes and you see him making, you know, spectacular plays. He's penetrating. He really is a better player than what we saw previously, and a lot of it is attitude above all else.
Look, we've seen a couple, not too many, but we have seen a couple players in the history of the Eagles, and I'm going to give you two first-rounders, who did squat-ta in their first couple years and then became real contributors. One, Nelson Agholor. Year three, I mean, he was a real factor when they won the Super Bowl, and specifically in that game, but all season. And two, I mean, probably the all-time example, Brandon Graham. And for BG, it took him to year four. Year four is when he turned a corner. I mean, N'Kobe in the first 2 years did nothing. Nothing. Now, granted, there was an injury last year, but I didn't see it last year even before he got hurt. In the limited time we saw him play, I thought he looked like a ham and egger. But if N'Kobe can bring it, and John, as you're saying, push the other guys who were essentially slated to be the starters, and by the way, be a pathway lane, let's say Devin White is one and done, which is a distinct possibility. It's a one-year deal. But if you can then pass the baton to N'Kobe Dean, still get him cheap year four, and maybe you want to sign him, but you know what I'm saying. Like, that helps your salary cap. You know, that's the idea. That's what you want to do. And if he can start this year and get in there, that's awesome. 215-592-9494. Coming up, more on the Eagles as Vic Fangio talked about Jalen Carter. Also, a fascinating John Middleton story. We'll detail that. And your phone calls. Your reaction to Rob Thomson not having JT or Bryce Batt in the ninth inning. What do you make of it? Or do you just make no sense of it? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.